Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm, very familiar. I would say most would agree it is, without much doubt, the most familiar psalm to most, at least most outside of church. I would say that to everybody that I have met down through the years, the 23rd Psalm is a favorite passage of Scripture for many reasons. The 23rd Psalm, very familiar. We probably could quote it, if not just outright, with a little word now and then, kind of get us back on track. That's how I do things. I've memorized them, but my brain doesn't always keep the flow going. And so every now and again, I have to think, okay, what's next? And just the way I do things, but familiar to us. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The first portion of verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd," deals with what you would consider the work of the shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask as we approach your word tonight, we'll do so with a desire to hear from you, with the desire to learn. Help us to be encouraged by these very familiar verses. Nothing new could be said or should be said about this. That is certainly not the goal tonight. It's just a purpose to encourage and uplift us, and just to help us to realize in times of trouble and the cares of life that get on us, that we are never alone, and that we are under the shepherd's care. Be with us, meet with us, let your Holy Spirit guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the psalm, as it's given here, is pretty simple, Psalm of David. It's all we know. We don't know any occasion for it. We don't know to whom it was written. We don't know that it was written to be sung in any corporate worship type of setting. I don't believe it was. I think this was one of those songs that was just simply to be a reminder of who God is. And then we know, because we have a finished scripture, that it's pointing to Christ. In fact, the first phrase there, the first sentence, "The Lord is my shepherd," that word "Lord," as you see in our Bibles, is all capitals. And as we've pointed out before, and as has been stated so many times in the past by others, that is the name for God. It's the title for God, the great I Am. Jehovah, as it's spelled in our English language, or Yahweh, however way you want to put it, it's speaking of God, of the great I Am, of the self-existent one, of the creator, of the Godhead as a whole. And so looking at that, when Jesus, in John chapter 10, if you want to turn there, just as a preview, unless the Lord changes my mind between now and Sunday morning, we're actually going to look at John 10 and at these verses a little further. But let me read them. John 10, verse 11 down through verse 14. Keep in mind, "The Lord is my shepherd," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, referring to the great I Am. So when the Israelites heard this, when the Jews heard this, and especially the group that he was giving this to heard this, it would have caused them great distress. Jesus said in John 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." Verse 14, he says it again, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." So when they heard him say that he was the good shepherd, they knew exactly what he was saying. They knew what he was referencing, as we do, because again, we have a finished scripture and we can compare the Bible with itself. When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," he's hearkening back to the 23rd Psalm. "And the Lord is my shepherd." He is our shepherd. So keep that in mind as we study this psalm briefly. Now, we could spend the entire time tonight on verse 1. We could spend the entire time next week on verse 2 and so on. We could spend a couple of months here and really not even begin to get to all that the shepherd is. And even Sunday morning, there's no way that I'm going to cover all those verses in one service. It's just kind of to give an overview to help us further what we'll see tonight. We find in the work of the shepherd that we belong to him. We are not to do things on our own as we would like. We are not to go at life by ourselves. We don't need to, because we belong to the shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, this is David speaking, and it's a very personal psalm, very personal reference to who the Lord was to him. And we should understand that as well today. He's our shepherd. Now, think about that. As sheep, we aren't wild animals left to fend for ourselves against all the predators out there. No sheep, no animal really is. Now, sheep are very susceptible. They're very, they are animals that don't know danger like they should. Now, they know certainly when a wolf or a fox comes, or a coyote or any other predator that shows up, they know that they're in trouble, but they don't know really what to do. I've heard, and I've even said it myself, and I cringe now to think that I've said it, but many have made the comment, and when I was studying through this, just about everybody made the comment that sheep are by and large dumb animals. And that may be true in relation to other animals, but the more I studied what sheep are, that's not actually accurate. What sheep are is followers, hence the need of a shepherd. They don't know anything else but what they're told to do, basically. And God uses the New Testament terminology, even in the Old Testament, the aspect of sheep being God's people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep as believers in Christ. And I've heard many say, and again, I've said it myself, unfortunately, that God used that analogy because we don't know any better. And that's just not necessarily true. I understand why that's said, and I understand even why I said it, but I think looking at it that way, we miss a valuable lesson regarding sheep. One of the things about sheep that they can do when they know that they're protected, they're at perfect peace. I'll get ahead of myself here, but when they're in the fold, and this is part of the message for Sunday morning, when they're in the fold, they have absolutely no fear. They don't know fear when the shepherd's there. And that's one of the things that we need to take under consideration is he's my shepherd. We don't need to fear anything. And I know the longer I'm alive, the older I get, the more chaos and trouble there is in the world, the tendency would be to be more concerned, fear, if you would like. But the longer I'm saved and the more I study Scripture and the older I get, I'm going the other direction. I was far more fearful in the past than I am today, far more concerned in the past than I am today. Now, part of that may be because my kids are gone, but as I spend time in prayer and pray for the family and the kids, I'm equally concerned, if maybe not slightly more concerned, about my grandkids than I was my children, because I don't have any influence over the grandkids. I had influence over the kids. And so there's that concern, but even then, he's their shepherd too. And he's got them under his care, just like he has us here tonight under his care. And that can be true for all of us here and any extended part of our family that's a believer in Christ. The individualization of this entire psalm shows how personal God was to David and how personal he should be to each of us. The first person pronouns given in this text are unique to several of the psalms. This is one of them. Later on in John 10, that great passage on eternal security, the believer, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, it doesn't say they know me there. It does later, but it doesn't there. My sheep hear my voice, and he knows us. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There again, he's connecting himself back here to the 23rd Psalm. We belong to him. We find the latter part of verse 1, we need not to be concerned for life. I shall not want. Now physically, and we look at this and we think, well, that guarantees us that we won't have any lack. We won't lack anything. And that's what the word really means, is to be lacking, to be needy. It's not saying, as we use the word want today, that God will give us everything that we want, but he will give us everything that we need, that he knows that we need, and there's a difference. Now, there are enough scripture references to show that God will supply our needs physically. Now, there are exceptions to those cases, and sometimes we've all had needs here, at least as far as adults go. We've all had times where we wondered what was going to happen next. I've mentioned before some of the shows about people buying houses in Alaska. And I just like Alaska, it's the closest we're probably going to get to Alaska. So I watch the shows. And some of the people that they look at these shacks out in the middle of nowhere that are dry cabins that don't have any water or electricity, and they're kind of run down. And I think, well, you know, our first house was kind of like that. And we've all been there. We've all had needs, all had times of need. So we need to be careful that we don't do what so many have done with texts like this and force something into the scripture that's not there. The one thing that this shows us in the first phrase in My Shepherd, we shall not want, is that God will never abandon us. We may not have everything that everybody else has, but we can be confident that God will provide our needs. Now, consider the entire scope of scripture here. And the Bible cannot contradict itself, and God cannot lie. Those two things are absolutes. The problem we might have in understanding how this verse fits into our lives when we do seem to have a very real lack of the basic necessities of life. Now, this may not be a problem for the believer in America, at least not on a regular basis. But you go to another countries, and it's a very real, common, everyday part of life for people in other countries to have lack of things. And I don't draw on this as a political issue. But the Middle East, the war in the Middle East right now between Israel and Hamas has caused great devastation in Gaza. I don't think anybody would debate that. And I know of testimonies given from people that I would trust that there are believers in that war-torn part of the country that are destitute, that don't have anything, that they feel if something doesn't happen, they won't be able to survive. Now, seems to be a disconnect between this and maybe Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And the psalm that David said, I was young, now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken and the seed suffer, beg for bread, and all the other references about God providing our needs. There seems to be a disconnect, but there's not. Someone once said, he lacks nothing who has everything, and in Christ we have everything. I believe this statement, considering the aspect of life that we have all faced and may face again, where we will have need. I believe this statement is summed up in the last verse of this psalm, in the first portion. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. With God as our shepherd, remember, my shepherd, even though we may have very real needs, the one thing we will never again want for, we will forever throughout eternity have, is his absolute goodness, that's grace, and his mercy, his tender care, his loving kindness. Those are things we will never want. And I think considering the content and context of this particular psalm in respect to the shepherd and us as sheep having absolute confidence and no concern or fear when under his care, that we can be like Job and know that God has it under control. Turn back to Job chapter 1. Let me read a few verses out of the book of Job, kind of remind us of things you might have remembered reading from your Bible studies. I'm not trying to conflict scripture or put any question mark on I shall not want. But I want us to understand that there are times where we're going to have and face very real need and very real concern. But God has never abandoned us and never will, and he will provide. It may not be as we think, and it may not be when we think, but he will provide. Job 1 verse 20, Job had lost everything. Final blow had come. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He had lost everything. He was about to lose his health. He was about to be sitting out in the dump, so to speak, what we would consider the dump, in agonizing pain. Now, that's some pretty serious need. Job 2, verse 10. Job's wife, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Don't be too hard on Job's wife here. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Chapter 13, verse 15. You'll see a pattern. Job's answer to Zophar. Lengthy answer. Job 13, verse 15. Speaking of the Lord, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him." So it didn't matter what was happening to Job, he was not going to ever consider that God had abandoned him. He wasn't wanting. Doesn't mean he didn't have needs. He wasn't lacking in the goodness of God and his mercy. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Job 19, verse 25, very many verses. I've preached these on Easter. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." He said, it doesn't matter. If I die, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not only physically, we won't want spiritually. I spent some time Sunday evening on Hebrews 4, verse 12, about the word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have a finished scripture. David didn't have that. The Apostle Paul didn't have that. None of the apostles had that. John didn't have it. We have a finished scripture. So we have all that we need. We don't lack. We don't want anything. So we don't really need to be concerned for life as the sheep. Psalm 23, verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters." This is that synonymous parallelism I have mentioned before. Certain types of parallelisms throughout the prophetical books, this is the most common, the simplest to understand, where the second statement restates the first in parallel with it. "He maketh me to lie down" corresponds to "he leadeth me." "Green pastures" corresponds to "the still waters." The idea is that of calmness and repose, as suggested by the image of flocks lying down on the grass. They do this because they are fully fed and satisfied. And in there, in that place, just like here and like every other place on earth, the greenest grass is where the best water is, or where the most water is. So the bottoms here towards the river, towards the creeks, are going to have greener crop, greener grass. That's true of everywhere I've ever been anyways. And if you don't have that, like out west where our son is in the high desert, they have to water things. So when he bought his house, they had, somebody had turned off the sprinkler system. So when he got there in June, the entire backyard was like dust, just dead, dry. And it took him a long, long time to water it, bring it back. So you can tell the difference between well-watered and not. That's what this particular verse is referencing. He gives us peace. It's not just talking about provision in this text. It's talking about the sheep being so content with what they've just been given, with the food that has been provided, with the water that's been provided. And the still waters references peace as well in its own right. But he provides a place for us to feed the green pastures and to find plentiful and beneficial water. Now, this goes back to verse 1 in the phrase, I shall not want. We don't need to want or lack anything because he's provided the place for us to be at peace in our lives. So what we think of need and want is not exactly what the Bible speaks of need and want. In fact, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, recorded for us in Matthew 6, that take no thought. We don't have to worry about food and raiment, food and clothes. For all these things, for after all these things that the Gentiles seek, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a great passage there about those things. I mean, the illustrations, you know, Solomon in all his glory wasn't as arrayed as the flowers and the grass of the field. The birds, they don't work, they don't toil, yet God feeds them. Are we not much better than they? Green pasture, still waters. He restores us if we stray, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is a different type of parallelism. This is what's called synthetic parallelism. The second line will sometimes repeat the first and broaden it or add something to it. Or in this case, it will explain the first. So what does he mean by restoreth my soul? The answer, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That word restoreth here we saw in Psalm 19, verse 7, where the word of God converts the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the word converteth in Psalm 19, 7 is the same word in Hebrew as this word restoreth, both speaking of the same thing. He restoreth my soul. When we come back to him, and the term is in the New Testament would be similar to that of repent or to turn back. It's to be turned back. And the fact the vast majority of times it's translated in the Old Testament, it's translated by the word again or turn again. To come back to him, it's to restore us if we stray. He's our shepherd. And I'm sure you've heard the illustrations given about shepherds that have to, at times, even go to the extreme of breaking a lamb's leg to keep it from straying again as he nurses it back to health. There are myriad of illustrations of that given. They say if a sheep or a lamb gets stuck, they have to stay. They don't often go get them right away, especially if they've been prone to go to the same spot, get stuck in the same spot over and over again. They wait until they're desperate before they go help them. That's where this term comes from. He restoreth my soul. He restores us if we stray. Verse 4, he gives us comfort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even in the times when we are afraid, when we are in danger, or when we're facing something that very well may take our lives, we need never fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. No bad, there's nothing in life that should cause us to the extreme fear that this is speaking of. The shepherd walks before his flock, ready to protect them from assault. They follow gladly and fearlessly wherever he leads because they have full confidence in the shepherd. The Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth in the second letter in the New Testament, third letter that we know that he wrote, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He's the God of all comfort. Dr. Donald Gregg Barnhouse was one of America's great preachers. His first wife died from cancer when she was in her 30s, leaving three children under the age of 12. Barnhouse chose to preach the funeral himself. And he thought, what does a father tell his motherless children at a time like this? On his way to the service, he was driving with his little family when a large truck passed them on the highway, casting a shadow over their car. Barnhouse turned to the oldest daughter, who was staring disconsolately out the window, and asked, "Tell me, sweetheart, would you rather be run over by the truck or its shadow?" The little girl looked curiously at her father and said, "Well, by the shadow. It doesn't hurt you." Dr. Barnhouse said quietly to the three children, "Your mother has not been overrun by death, but by the shadow of death. That's nothing to fear." At the funeral, he used this text from the 23rd Psalm. And I think you can still look that message text up. It's a tremendous message that he preached. We don't need to fear. He gives us comfort in those times of trouble. Verse 5, "He will deliver us from our enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." There's a process here. This is one verset builds on the other. They will know that it was God. The enemies will know that it was God. Prepares a table before them. They can observe God delivered them. They will know that that deliverance is complete. Thou anointest my head with oil. The word here for anointing means to be fat, to grow fat, figuratively to anoint or to satisfy. This is to show that his deliverance was complete, as ours is, because of the good shepherd. They will know that it was God. They will know that the deliverance is complete, and the deliverance and provision will be abundant. My cup runneth over. Jesus is recorded in Luke in one of those great texts similar to the Sermon on the Mount in that same context of message or sermon. He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." That's what this "my cup runneth over" is. You just pack it in there until it's overflowing. Our deliverance will be complete. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what attack the enemy brings, we are already victorious. We're already, the Bible tells us, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then the last verse, he gives us assurance that he'll always be there. So there's a process through this psalm. One leads to the next. Assurance that he guides our lives. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Alan Gardner, a missionary back in the 1800s, experienced many physical difficulties and hardships throughout his service to the Savior. Despite his troubles, he said, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving on Pictan Island at the southern tip of South America. When his body was found, which was a long time later, his diary lay nearby. It bore the record of hunger, thirst, wounds, and loneliness. Now keep in mind, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The last entry in his little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write legibly. It read, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." He starved to death. Overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. No word of complaint, no childish whining, no grumbling at the circumstances, just praise for God's goodness. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what do we consider a need? Assurance that we can know our salvation is forever, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, David was speaking of the temple. We know it's speaking of heaven. From the time we put our faith in the Good Shepherd on through eternity, we will dwell in his presence. I found this. I don't know where I came across it. But after losing their husband and daddy at age 37, Jay and Julie Alexander composed this poem in his memory. I think about the 23rd Psalm. These three little sheep of a shepherd who cares, as we give him our pain, our sorrow he bears. The Lord is our shepherd, he will lead us each day. Our job is to follow him and listen to him say, be still, my little sheep, and know that I am God. I alone can bring you comfort. Take my staff and my rod. This road of much sorrow, I've walked in it too. It led me to Calvary where I suffered for you. I know that your pain on this earth is intense, but look to the future. Heaven's glory is immense. So trust me each moment, one day at a time. My grace is sufficient for each sheep of mine. Jay soon will be 10. His interests are many. It seems that mom's taxi is running aplenty. There's sports and piano and scouts and school, and time at the computer is another new tool. Now, Julie is 5, but approaching 15, her vigor is constant, always full steam. But her childlike faith has been such a guide to learn how our shepherd wants us to abide. Her memories of Mike have brought joy each day as she finally reminds us what Daddy would say. As a matter of fact, and so full of love, we can't help but smile and look up above. Then back to our shepherd, we come for that hope. We give him the glory as we're learning to cope. Be still, my little sheep, and know that I am God. I'm with you each moment, each step that you trod. Stand firm in the fact that I don't make mistakes. Your days have been numbered. It wasn't left to fate. Just look to eternity as you shine forth my light, and soon that strong faith will become full sight. These three little sheep are going for the gold, as to our dear shepherd we tightly hold. We're thankful for family and friends each day who've been faithful to remember us and continue to pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray.